Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Hands Out Podcast. I am Jim Miller.
I'm the old man.
Yeah. I'm Ron Jeremy.
Whoa. Whoa. Not 7 seconds in tonight. Then he already stepped over the line.
You're the head. Hey, I'm sitting
what is
in
he, the
porn
the hedgehog?
Chair.
Right? Is that what they call him?
The hedgehog.
Yes, welcome to the Hands Out Podcast. We had some fights. Mm-hmm. We had some fights over this past weekend. A fight night in Denver, Colorado, and I had a sweet opportunity.
Yeah.
That I had to jump on.
Sure.
And
so we didn't talk about it last Friday.
So apparently I got thrown under the bus a little bit. Is what
oh,
I hear.
Nobody threw you under the bus.
I'm sure that there were some condescending remarks made.
Oh, there were.
There were. Yeah.
Billy D has my back, though. And
you son of a bitch,
true
Billy.
Billy,
what a true friend.
Well, I heard
I
he's
love you,
sick,
Billy D.
So somebody better
badger.
Start running.
Yeah. He's as healthy as can be. I've been checking in on him. Send him echinacea and stuff like that. Keep him healthy.
Vitamin C. Yeah. So I got to go on a hunt in Oklahoma. Spot and stalk pig hunt with Dudley. Knock on TV, the Knock On podcast. Had a great time. It was a really cool bunch of things happened. So, it was pretty sweet. I made sure to send pictures to Pat and Dan as much as I could to rub it in their faces.
He did.
He did. Uh-huh. And it was nice to see. Yes. I was conflicted because I wanted to know what was going on, but I was also like, this son of a bitch.
Yeah. Pat and I were hoping to get out and shoot a deer and you not get something.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen.
Listen. I
you're like son of a bitch.
I did
we hunted hard.
Yeah. I did my part to make it so that I almost got shut out.
Yeah.
So so over the weekend you had the fights in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Pull that up for me, Pat.
Bam.
Bam. The main event, you had Valentina against Julia Pena. I didn't get to see all the fights, but I got to see the last two of the main card, and I got to see the Marquardt fight, I believe. Dude, Valentina looked nasty.
Yeah, she looked good.
She looked really good. Her grappling looked really good. Able to submit Juliana, which was very impressive. I thought that she was going to win, I thought it was going to be she was going to utilize her striking a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But she looked great.
Yeah, she did. She looked good.
There's been
tough,
like
man.
There's been like a crop of girls coming out of Poland that are just like really tough. I don't know what they're putting in the water over there, but she looked good.
Yeah,
I mean. Yeah. Radiation from Chernobyl.
I got to get some of that.
Yeah.
She looks like physically strong too. Like she seemed like almost like it was almost like a different weight class.
Yeah,
is what I thought.
She wasn't raised, in a easygoing lifestyle, as easygoing as we have here in the States, as our good buddy Jonathan Helwig would say.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
She probably has that standing in line for bread type strength, just like he used to say that about like anybody that came from the Eastern Europe and stuff, mm-hmm. and we had the opportunity to train with some of the Russians and Adlams from Chechnya. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was always his comment about it. But yeah, even her coach got shot not too long ago. I think her striking coach got shot.
Really? Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. Like, well, that's crazy. Which one of my coaches is going to take a bullet? Probably be us.
Good
on
thing
the
I don't coach
range.
You so much.
Like, I bet we could convince Amr to get shot.
Yeah.
He would do it. We just have to, like, set it up. Amr, we're not. It's not going to be a direct shot. You'll be fine. Yeah. He'll be in your leg. His legs are pretty big. Yeah.
I'll wing you.
He'll be fine. He's in.
Well, one pellet. Done that before. A little bird shot in the calf.
Michael still moves fine.
He does, yeah.
There's no issues.
What's that?
No issues from it.
No issues. I mean, he
is. A little lead poisoning, but.
Yeah. His cognitive function has slowed down a little bit.
He's a doctor, though, so I think he's doing all right.
Yeah, well, he tried to roll with me after that, so that's when I popped his popped his ankle. Heel hooked him. He's for punching me in the face when I was 14.
What do you do because you shot him?
Took it.
Took it.
Took it like a little bitch. So the co-main, Cerrone, Masvidal. Knew it was going to be a tough fight for Cerrone. But Masvidal, man, he had his number.
Yeah.
You never know. You never know what is going through somebody's mind. You never know what they're dealing with.
Cerrone looked tentative to me.
He did. He was out at a concert the night before.
Yeah.
You know, the night before the fight. Whether that affected him or not, you don't know. I mean, he probably wasn't boozing or anything like that.
No.
But you know, Cerrone, when guys stand up to him, when guys don't play that, like, you know, oh, we're just doing this, you know, this is just a fight type thing. When they, like, are a bit more aggressive and don't play the kind of the nice game.
Yeah.
He seems to crack a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, those are the guys that beat him, and I wish I knew that before I fought him. And when he tried to touch my gloves, I would have been like,
fuck you.
Fuck you, dude. But, yeah, you know, Masvidal was talking trash the whole time and you know, leading up to the fight. And, he looked great.
Yeah.
He looked absolutely great. So, that was a hell of a performance, you know. Mm-hmm.
And Masvidal had been criticized for being a little bit too tentative with his boxing in his past two fights, so he certainly shut that door.
Yeah.
They were saying there's some talk going back between him and Magny, that Magny might be next.
Oh, yeah.
There can't be a lot of guys lining up to fight him.
He called out Maya.
He called
out, I can't remember who he called out, but I called out Maya, and then Magny just said, I'll fight you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Maya turned it down. It's not a good fight for Maya. I mean, Maya's at the top of the division. It's not
a fight.
I
think it's
doesn't make sense.
I think Maya submits him in the first.
Yeah.
But
doesn't make sense.
He was already told that he was getting a title shot.
Yeah.
And, screw that nonsense, man.
Yeah.
He's waited long enough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I'd have him wait. But Orlovsky, what's that guy's name? I can't read it.
Naganu.
Yeah.
Naganu. I think that sounds good. I'm sorry.
We're very good with names.
Apologizing in advance.
Very good with names here.
I screw my kids' names up, so.
Yeah, so do I. What's that? Jayak.
Jock, come here.
And fine.
Jock and fine.
Or fiend. Arlovsky's been in the game for a long time, man. I didn't get to see it, but apparently he said he got dinged up, and I can see from here that he lost by KO. He's had a long career, dude.
Yeah.
Francis just put it together. I mean, he hit hard. He was accurate. And he landed a combo. There was nothing. You know, the knockout punch wasn't even like his best, most solid punch. He just kept working through. Mm-hmm. It was kind of, I don't want to say it was sad because Arlovski's had a great career. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he was the champ, but it's crazy to see that progression as a fan from when, I mean, there was a time when Arlovski was unstoppable.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to fight him. He almost had like that Mike Tyson aura. Mm-hmm. And now.
He was a stud.
He was.
He was a stud.
He was tearing through guys.
Yeah. So. Mixing it up, he was a big athletic guy, capable of knocking people out or submitting them. He was a stud, man. But that's fighting a heavyweight.
Mm-hmm. You got to admit that division has completely changed. I mean, from Tim Sylvia, not to slam Tim Sylvia, but I mean, like. I don't think Tim Sylvia even makes it to the UFC today with the caliber of guys, with how athletic
the athleticism.
Tim's not tough, and not that maybe if Tim had today's training, it'd be different. I don't want to sound like a bash session, but the heavyweights today are different animals than they were back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Totally. It's just a different athlete. Like you said, you know, it's not just a big guy with KO power anymore.
Yeah.
If you look at Arlovski's last couple losses, he lost to Stipe Miocic, who is a monster. He lost to Alistair Overeem. He lost to Josh Barnett, and then and to Francis. I'm not gonna say his last name because I can't. But you know, there's no shame in any of those losses. Those guys are murderers, man.
Yeah.
That's a tough four fights.
Tough four fights, and the issue that you see is that they're all stoppages.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of got to get to that point of your career.
Yeah.
But might still have a little left in tank. So the other fight, the other fight in the main card was Bruce Leroy, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's Jason Knight.
I didn't get to see that. I saw the beginning of it, and they looked like they were exchanging well, and then a child threw up, and I missed the rest of it.
It's tough when that happens.
That sometimes happens.
Mm-hmm. You know, Alex is tough, but he's had some decent fights. But yeah, Jason is, he's a dangerous dude. Look at that, 19-2, you know, he's got a lot of fights. It's a lot of experience. Tough dude.
Yeah.
So beyond that, we have the fights this weekend, right? There's, Bermudez versus Korean Zombie, which is going to be a hell of a fight.
I'm excited about that fight.
Hell of a fight. Korean Zombie's not ranked anymore, coming off of a long layoff. Bermudez is 9.
There's two guys that keep coming forward.
Yeah, fans of both of those guys, man.
I can't see all the fights.
Bermudez is a world record holder. for drinking a quart of lemon juice in the fastest time. It's pretty impressive.
It is impressive.
Yeah. It's nothing like, you know, it's way better than like banging nails, thinking like
you're the
fastest nail banger.
The fastest any banger.
Yeah.
There's a world record.
You know, you might not want to be proud about some of those.
Our poor mom.
You know, the
I didn't say it was over.
You know, we were talking about speed. That's what we were talking about. That's what the.
Yeah.
That's what.
Maybe he was referring to RPMs. Yeah. Yeah. Right, so just running up there.
Wouldn't that
red
be
line.
HPMs, like humps per minute?
I don't know.
The messed up part is Bermuda's, he had to do it twice because he had a foul the first session, the first round, and he destroyed it because there was a little bit left.
Yeah.
And, like, he crushed it. So they're like, then he had to, like, get that last little bit.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you got to, you know, can you do it again? Can you do it again? Because he destroyed, you know, he was going with, like, a couple other people. So he did it again. So he already had a quart of lemon juice sitting in his stomach. And then he put another quart on top of that. My hat's off to that.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
We actually got to meet Dennis, Jim and I, at the at the hockey game. Real cool guy, real down to earth. Was, you know, happy to hang out and bullshit. Yeah. So I'm definitely rooting for him.
Yeah. Who else do we got?
We got
Grasso Herring and Trudillo Vic. You know, somebody else could say these names.
Yeah, no. keep going, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not jumping on this one.
Yeah.
OSP.
Yeah, I know OSP. I know OSP.
And VO.
And, yeah.
VO.
Oesdemir?
We are the smartest podcast
we are.
Out there.
Yeah, people are like, my God, how the hell are
we can't read.
Yeah.
Anthony Hamilton.
There you go.
That's
good
it.
Job.
Where is this one?
This one is...
You don't even know. Houston, Texas.
Houston,
there
Texas.
You go. I like Texas. I like
everything's
Texas.
Bigger in Texas.
I'm undefeated in Texas, so...
How many times did you fight there? Twice?
Twice. Two times. Two times a lady. Yeah. Good. Looks like a good night of fights.
Who did you fight in Texas?
I fought, what's his face?
Yes, what's his face?
And
yes,
whatchamacallit.
And then, what's his face?
I fought
face?
Gleason Tebow the second time.
Mm-hmm. Lopez.
And Lopez the first time.
Good job. So he doesn't get hit in the head as much.
No, he doesn't.
No, he's got
well, he
really
knows that one
because
that's the first one he missed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was a.
For what? You're always
baby back bitch.
Your leg?
Yeah. That's when he had surgery.
Bitch.
I'm getting the buzz a paintball gun for this podcast.
Well, you know, I feel sorry for him because he's in a
he's in a pissy mood.
Yeah, he's in a pissy mood.
He's in a pissy mood.
Oh.
A pissy mood.
No.
You want a beer?
No.
No, I don't want a beer.
No, I said no.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Yeah, something's wrong. Something's definitely wrong. And you wouldn't tell us, so then it's obviously that you're PMSing. I saw a video on Facebook. Is that a bruise on your forearm?
It is a bruise.
Yeah, that was actually McGowan was, and I had the pad up, and he was like, he kicked
chopping
very hard for a soccer player.
They usually don't like turn their hip over that well, like hit with their shin. But
yeah, no, he's got it.
He's got
it.
He's
we were going back and forth.
Yeah.
I don't want him to kick me without the pad.
Yeah.
I mentioned that to him, too. Like, if we were sparring, don't feel like you could kick me as hard as you want in the arm because you cannot.
You're not allowed to.
That's unacceptable.
I will choke you. I saw this video on Facebook of there were really a lot of stupid, and by stupid, I mean, like, awesome games being played these days. There's this game that somebody, they had to be drunk when they came up with it. And when I tried it the first time, it's called Taser Ball. And they, this
I'm
is like
in.
This, yeah, it's this giant, you know, it's like a giant ball, like a 28 inch, like blow up soccer ball thingy.
Yeah.
And they've got these goals, and you have to get the ball into the goal, but everybody's got a taser. So, like, they run around and zap each other. And, of course, in the one clip, they show this poor guy gets zapped in the gooch. And, like, and, like, you know, he goes down just like, just holding his junk. And
What was the setup to get access to the Gooch for the Zap?
Like whoever like he was, the guy was a dirt ball. I mean, he went under there, you know. But like, yeah, they're like zapping each other on the arm, they're, freaking out and throwing the ball. It looks like a lot of fun.
I bet you it is.
I'd be throwing teeps all day.
Yeah.
But then there's another game. What the heck is it called? It's like combat something. And instead of like a ball, it's a baton, almost like a relay race type thing. And in order to score points, you have to have the baton, and then there's like a target. It's like basically a little piece of like foam or whatever that's hanging out, and you have to kick it. So like they wear headgear and shit, and you can hit each other. You're wearing like gloves, like MMA gloves,
punch and kick,
and
they have to kick the thing holding the baton.
Yeah, you have to have the baton. Yeah. Leg kicks first period, go ding, yo, let them score a couple times. second period you're gonna rack them up because they're not gonna be able to move. That would be my plan.
Yeah,
just start chopping people down.
That's a game. Womp. I don't want to play with you. I'd rather get teased than leg kicks while I'm running. Be like Mike sweating
like
all over
sprint
again
and just like boom, just wrapping somebody up.
You would go down. You would go down.
That'd
hard
be fun. Oh. Yeah. Especially like the angles you could get, like because if you could like come up on somebody's flank, you know, and just boom from the outside, come into like the back half,
yeah,
oh, that'd be beautiful. Breaking femurs.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out on that game. But the taser game, count me in.
You'd rather get tased in the Gooch.
Much rather tased in the Gooch. I would let you. I would allow you into my Gooch area to tase me rather than let you kick me while I was running full speed.
We can do that. Right. I would like to do that.
There would have to be some repercussion. I would like to tase your Gooch. Because I'm a giver. I'm not a one-way kind
of
guy.
No. I would rather you leg kick me than tase my Gooch. So you can leg kick it off, yeah, leg kick me, and I'll tase your Gooch. Yeah.
What if it's awesome, though? Like, maybe you'll be super jealous. Whoa.
You're missing out. Yeah. It's all right, Pat. Just
better than you think.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Causes spasms in certain areas.
Feel so alive.
So so I, you know, I got to flew out to Iowa. Mm-hmm. Met up with Dud and I shot his door.
Yeah.
So
I've seen that video a million times.
Did you see the slow-mo one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah, the
asshole.
somebody gave him shit for not communicating properly, but he clearly said
safety like eight times.
Safety.
Well, it was after I was already starting to let down, too, but it is my fault. There was no workflow because I only shot the silverback like 24 times here, and then, you know, handful of times there already.
Yeah.
And
can I ask a question? Is that what you shot out there, or did you use your
knock to it?
Yeah.
I think that's probably what got you too, because the knock to it, you're thinking, don't touch that, the thumb part, and then you go to the silverback and don't let that go.
No, like I've just never let down the silverback. So the silverback is a, you know, it's a 2.5 finger release, and it's a back pressure. And so, like, you hold the safety, you find the valley of the bow in the bow, and it goes off at, like, 19 pounds or whatever. You know, you set it to, like, 5 pounds over the hold weight in the valley. So I had shot a couple times, you know, and you've got this man standing there, like, right in my face. And he's got his arrow, and he's, like, flicking me in the ear. Oh, elbow higher. You know? So there was a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
And then we go live, and then it just started to go downhill. And I had some shitty shots. And so, like, I pulled back, and And he's like, oh, that's a booger shot. He's like, let that one down. And like I said, this, I hadn't let it down. So you safety, pull back, find the valley, come off the safety, and then pull through the shot, pulling that elbow back to something behind you. And, I forgot to put the safety on. I screwed myself because when we got there, I was like looking at the target. I was like, oh, yeah, there's a hole up there. I was like, looks like somebody missed.
Oh, you pointed it out.
I pointed out the fact that he had done it before. And
did he give you a story behind that one?
No, he refused to give me a story. So then I'm letting it down. And luckily, I kept it pointed relatively in the same right direction.
It's like, what'd you say?
Yeah, because James was behind the wall building arrows. I started to let down, and the weight became higher than the weight of the silverback, and it let go and shot a hole through his door.
They buried in that door, man.
It blasted through the door.
Yeah, well, the knock just stayed.
The knock and one of the fletchings were buried into the door. The other two fletchings disappeared.
And the arrow went.
And the arrow blasted into the cinder block wall. It was stuck in the cinder block wall behind it.
Luckily, it wasn't like going into his garage and just arrow stuck out of his car or something.
So that's a great way to make friends.
Yeah.
I redeemed myself. I got the hang of it, and I actually like let down a couple times with it. It's still hairy. It's a training tool. Yeah. You know, it's a good training tool, but it is makes your butt pucker.
Anybody that has shot a bow consistently has shot something that they did not intend to shoot.
Yeah.
Right? I refuse to believe that there's somebody out there that has practiced with their bow and is like, I've never hit anything but the target.
In both of the videos, so like the live video, and then he made the edit where he slowed it down, and he was nice enough to put and show the part where he shows his hole in
his
the door.
His hole as well, yeah.
There were a ton of comments.
Everyone was like, oh my God,
I did that. My husband did that. Yeah. You know, there were like one or two people that were like, well, he's not ready for the silverback or, you know.
And that's why if you're shooting the bow, everybody should always be behind you. Like, right? That's like a safety rule. Yeah. The kids are running around like, this is no good. Like, daddy might shoot this fucking arrow somewhere that it's not intended to go. You are not safe right now. Mm-hmm. Nobody's safe.
Yeah. The neighbor
threw it. Did you tell your neighbor that?
No, I didn't mention that to my neighbors. They're safe. They're fine.
I've done it way too many times.
I'm like a professional at this point.
I've blasted my door, my garage door, the steel door.
Yeah.
I exploded a bottle in the basement. I was shooting into the brewing area. and it was right when I got the knock to it, and I was being ballsy, and I cranked that thing down. And it was going off. Like my, you know, just from a different release or whatever, I was bumping it. And just bumping it with my thumb was
enough. Yeah.
Knocking it off. And I'm like pulling back, and I bumped it, and boom! Shot an arrow through a wine bottle. I didn't share it to social media. I did send it to Dud. I was like, look what I did.
I'm ashamed of myself.
Yeah.
So my question is, we all have bows. They're all set up. They're all restrung. I mean, you were shooting the bear. It was a newer bear, set up right by a good shop. How different is it to have, you know, Hoyt's top of the line set up by somebody like Dudley who really understands everything?
I've never driven a Ferrari, but like this brand new, this brand
just
new
the exact point, same thing.
Yeah, the Carbon Defiant with
his rest, right?
Which is awesome. Perfectly in time. And I don't know. It's just it's a breeze to shoot. It's a 34, so it's a bit bigger. But I like it because it's, you know, I
more forgiving, right?
Well, I don't think there's anything difference between any difference between I think it's the 31, the 31 and the 34 when it comes to forgiveness, because it's that's basically just the brace height.
Yeah.
But it's a bit heavier, so it just holds nice, you know. Like we didn't shoot very much in his basement after that. we went to.
I'm tired, Jim. Let's hit this tomorrow.
We went to, you know, his other place. We shot, you know, shooting the 20. It's nice. Went outside and it was pretty cold, so I shot at like 30 a little bit, but then when I was down in Oklahoma, one of the issues I ran into is I brought my sight, uh-huh, and my sight was set up, you know, it's a adjustable single pin, and the tape was set for I was shooting on the elbow,
yeah,
so I just had to make some marks where, you know, where things lined up, and so I had my like 20 30 40 50 60 all set up, but I found 30, and then it's like, all right, well, did some math and turn it to 40, you know, and went back, and it's like I was grouping at 40, I was grouping at 50, I was grouping at 60,
and it's like
grouping at 60, cool, and it's like, you know, I've been able to hit the target at 60,
yeah,
and granted the wind was good for us. It was coming straight from behind me, so it was not affecting,
yeah,
you know, my arrow flight. Where shooting at the house, it's coming at like a decent angle. It's coming from like 10 o'clock,
yeah,
you know, all the time. So it affects the arrow flight a little bit, but yeah, it was just like putting them in there, and I put that to the test. You know, so we. We're down at his place and shot a bit, and Tyler from Traeger Grills, who Dud works with, he had never shot before, never shot a bow, never hunted with a bow.
Yeah.
So like, I got to see him take this guy who had, you know, when he was a kid, pulled back a, you know, recurve and stuff like that. Like, and now he's a, you know, 28-year-old man or whatever.
Yeah.
And go from, like, nothing, blank slate, to a couple of days later, shot a pig, you know, out of a tree stand. It was really cool. It's really cool to see. And he shot his with the silverback, which should definitely be a feather in his cap.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, it was really cool. Really cool experience to, you know, because we went down, and I mean, it sucked because we had to drive 8 hours down to Caddo, Oklahoma. But you know, got to know those guys a little bit more. And, we got down there Sunday night, like right after sundown. So we didn't get any hunting done Sunday night. But it was a 13,000-acre ranch that we were on, like. It's like, it's like hunting the town that I live in, you know, it's like,
that's
walk
awesome.
Anywhere.
Yeah. It's like 5 miles by 5 miles. Like we were staying in the secondary lodge, which was probably like the original, like, location. The family, I think, has owned the property since like the 1860s or something like that. There's this little knob that the house called the Buffalo House, like, sits on top of, and you can see for miles. And they're like, yeah, pretty much anything you can see, we're hunting. Like, it was kind of daunting.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking about it. It's like, holy shit. Like, we got to find pigs in this. And, So the following morning, we spread out, and I got to hunt with Dudley and this guy James, or Jimmy, that he's a firefighter down by there, and Jimmy, like, showed us around. You know, he's from there. He works the ranch a little bit. So,
so Dud's guy that he hired, his name is James.
Your
name is James, yeah. And then you were hunting with a guy named Jimmy.
Yeah.
Call Jimmy. Ask James. Don't forget about Jim.
We're just all really good hunters and archers and handsome.
The gym club. Or Dudley has a thing for a guy's name Jim, and he just collects people named Jim.
Hey, you know what?
That's why Dan and I weren't invited. If we were named Jim, we would have been set. Yeah.
I didn't tell him my middle name was James.
You should have. You should have.
I would have been invited.
So what we were doing was we were trying to spot and stalk. So, like, there were a bunch of, you know, it's a cattle ranch, so there's a bunch of fields and pastures around. And they've got some food plots. There's some, like, little ponds and watering holes and stuff like that in there. So we were what they had done is that they had, like, chummed the road. So they went around at least for a day. They were supposed to – one guy was supposed to be spreading it before we got there. But it didn't necessarily look like he was. But they took corn and they just spread a little bit of corn around all these roads. The one guy, Wesley, said he was on the, you know, riding these roads for 8 hours the day before we got there, spreading corn. Just to try to, you know, just to try to get him out and, you know, out of the thick stuff. And so the first morning we went out and we walked like 7.5 miles. You know, on these roads and up around, finding these spots, and yeah, you're just trying to listen for them because the pigs are just noisy and, you know, they make a lot of noise. And if you're going doing it right, you should be able to hear them before they hear you. And,
yeah.
You know, you got to watch the wind because their noses are spectacular. But it was definitely cool. So we didn't see anything in the morning. Got back to the lodge, hung around a little bit. And then, so the Buffalo House, there's this huge, probably mile, almost a mile by like 3/4 of a mile field out in front, like pasture out in front. And it hadn't really been hunted. So the pigs kind of used it as like a sanctuary, and it was probably waist high grass in it. We had gone out and somebody was out, you know, on the deck, and they were like, oh, we got pigs out in the front field. So we went that night, getting close to dusk, to try to put a stalk on them. And there were four of us. It was, myself, Dudley, Tyler, and then, the ranch owner's son. So like, four of us moving through there was a bit much, but we had like a, I don't know, 45-minute stalk because we had one come over towards the house. So like we're working up on it, and it ended up busting us. That, you know, it ran off, and then we had another pack, and it's like it's really crazy because you're walking through this grass and like you're glassing, and you can just make out their backs here and there, but it's so hard to judge range.
Yeah.
And it looks so like up and down, but it's really pretty flat, just because of the way the grass grew. So like we're trying to get shots. And, we just couldn't close the distance. And, finally Dud just rips back and arrows one right in the chest. It's big sow. Hits her like, you know, kind of right in the front of her chest. She was facing us, and he like lets loose, and you hear, you know, that hollow sound.
Yeah.
It just didn't hit any bone, sunk into vitals, you know. And he like looks at me. He's like, "Was that all right? I don't want to take a shot from you." I was like, "Dude, like I couldn't tell how far away it was, you know." So he got that first one. You know, that first night. And so like we kind of peeled out of the pasture. We, you know, we tracked it, found it. And I went with the landowner's son, Clay. And we just weren't going to walk one of the roads.
Yeah.
So like we're walking down the road and it's like the sun's coming down and all of a sudden these two pigs pop up at like 110 yards. And he's like, "What are you comfortable shooting at?" And I'm like, "Well, my sight is like to like 80, you know?" And he's like, he's like, "They're pigs. They're not trophy bucks." He's like, "You know, be aggressive, let loose on them." So they started coming up, and the one was just, he was hoovering up the corn. And they got to like, they got to just about 80, and I ended up drawing, and then they tucked into the grass, and we tried to come around on and put a stalk on them, but the wind shifted, and they ended up taking off on us. But then, so we got out the next morning, and we were putting some miles on again, and we clearing some fields, you know, coming through, walking these paths, getting into these fields, and we were coming up, and Jimmy thought he heard, you know, something, and then I heard, you know, something there coming up over this up this ridge in the woods there, and there must have been 40 of them. There's, I don't know if we've got video. I've got the video of it, but I think it's going to be tough to find for Pat. It was tough to figure out, like, how many there were.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, and Dud's like, "All right, they're at, like, 50 yards. So I'm like, "All right," you know, like, I'm getting ready to shoot, and I'm thinking to myself, I can't see more than, like, 25 feet. Like, this is ridiculous, you know? It's super tight. That is actually going, I think that's going into the spot. You'll mute it first, too. But, so we, like, it's really tight. So you can scroll towards the end of it. Because this is, I think this is definitely where it was. Because we got nestled into this. Yeah, this is right where it was. So, if you put this on, did you put it on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, they're coming in from our right here. And, like I said, there was a pack of probably, like, 40 of them. Bunch of piglets. But he's like, yeah, there's, like, I'm good. Like 50 yards away. So I had my pin set at like pretty far, pretty, you know, I had it set at 50. And you'll be able to see, I think the next video is where I shoot, but this one comes on a bead straight at us. So I drew and I tried to pull the Dud and shoot her in the chest. And I actually skipped it off her forehead into a tree. And it ran off. And, well, yeah, it's not the first time that I've shot an animal in the face. The first time, though, I recovered it. So, the audio is pretty cool because he starts yelling at me to draw, and I couldn't get the knock to it clipped on. I kept hitting the D-loop, and I'm like looking down. You can see I'm like looking down, like I can't do it. Yeah, so I think the video stops like right here. Yeah,
the quality isn't transferring very well to Facebook.
But it's shot in 4K too, so it's probably killing that thing. It'll be. No.
He said the next video, not two videos ahead.
No, that next one's a JPEG. they're not in order. Yeah, they're not in order.
They're not coming across good.
All right.
And we have switched to an all audio platform, so
that's true. So, so then after I misfired on that first one, there were two boars and they actually started fighting. At like 25, 30 yards.
I'll bet that was cool.
It was. They were like, you know, going at it, and all I could really make out was a big black blob, and I knew where the one kind of was. So I let him have it, hit behind the ribs. Got a little bit of gut, but then it blasted his liver. So like shot him, skirted around, tried to get a shot at another one, and wasn't able to. We found a little bit of blood, and we're like, oh, you know, like where, you know, you could see that it was, you know, kind of there a little bit of gut.
Yeah.
But you know, in the blood, but so we let him be, you know, we let him lay, and we were expecting a pretty far track. You know, when we came back later, he was 15 yards from where we
really
where we stopped. But so we like peel, you know, we snuck out of there, we went up and we actually bumped into another one, and we're coming to this watering hole, and it was a big lone boar. And you really didn't even get to see him. You just heard him like grunting as he spooked out of there. And we were close. We got really close to him. But then they gave us a call and said that there were more pigs in the front field. So we bolted. And this is actually this picture that is on the screen right there is the like that's the front pasture, like, and you can just see horizon. That's what it looked like. It was amazing. So we then we had two stalks. We ended up splitting up. Dud went after a big boar. Had to go full sprint on a big boar to try to cut it off. Apparently, he left Jimmy in the dust once he turned it into high gear.
And he was,
yeah,
he's like, got some wheels on him, and yeah, once they start moving,
yeah, man, following behind him, it's like his one is my like one and a half, and you're trying to be like quiet doing it. It is a workout, man. Like he kept just blowing past me, you know.
Did you get to shoot with him at all? Was he shooting alongside you?
Not really shooting. You know, he was picking up. He picked up my bow. He picked up Tyler's bow. And if he lines up the sights, and he's drilling stuff.
Yeah. I've been curious to see just, like, how much better he is. It's just different level?
It's different level, yeah. Like I said, I was having a tough time, like, judging distance just for the size of the animal, being stuck in the woods there, being in the grass, like it was tough to get a good range on him with the range finder. But like he was able to range him, you know, he knew which pin to use, what gap to use, stuff like that. Like it's a guy that, you know,
shoots a lot
and has been shooting a lot since he was young. And I forget what company it was for, but it was, he got a sponsorship with him because he went to the shoot off and they had a shotgun primer in a target, a deer target, you know, 12 ring of a deer target. And this was like before rangefinders and shit. And it was like, he's like, I judged it at like 92 yards. And he's like, first shot, I put an arrow into the primer.
At 92.
At 92.
And he
yards.
Had to guess how far it was.
Yeah. Like, that's just blows your mind. Blows your mind, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so we put some other stalks on that day. Like, there was a lot of action that day. I got on another one, got on a big sow, crept within, like, 9 feet of her until I noticed she was there. Scared the crap out of me. She was actually suckling. Spooked her. Hit a barbed wire fence in front of her at 6 feet. I snatched up two of her piglets. Chased them. Did a little training. A little Rocky training. Ended up putting them down. Letting them run free. But they would have been good. Would have been tender.
Very tender.
Yeah. Yeah. They were probably only a couple days old. So we got Then that night, so the second night, we after this crazy morning of like, I shot, you know, at three pigs and dud shot at the big boar. After he sprinted, he took a thing was blowing past him at like 40 or 50, and he shot at it, and he's like, I put the pin on its nose, end of its nose, and I shot 6 inches behind his tail. But then we did some more shooting, and after that, and we got Tyler confident, and then put him in the stand that night. And he had like 30 pigs come in on a stand to a feeder, and closed the deal.
Nice.
He actually shot, and then he was so excited that he just like threw the release.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but then it was crazy because we went out there, and before we even headed down, they told us that they were going to do a control burn on Thursday, the day that we were leaving. But the weather changed. The wind on Thursday was just nasty. So they ended up doing it on Wednesday. So we went out, we hunted in the morning on Wednesday, and then they started the burn, you know, like 8 o'clock, something like that. So they started the back burn, and then they started the main fire, and it was unbelievable. There might be some pictures on there, but I know I sent them to you on your phone and stuff like that, but it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. It was one of like the most amazing things you see, because it was basically a forest fire.
Yeah.
You know? That front field, it took, once they got the fire going, within a matter of minutes, the whole front field was black. You know? So like we hunted, and then we came back and hung out, and they might not be on there.
No, I'm not seeing them.
But they did the burn, and then we actually went out that evening, and that's like the beginning of the next video. So I shoot right after that. You'll have to watch it after we're done here. Yeah, it was amazing. So then you go out, and it's like you're hunting either part that hasn't been hit yet, something that's already been hit and it's ash.
Yeah.
Or like transition areas, you're hopping over a fire line. You know, it was like it was wild. It was absolutely wild. We were waiting to see if any pigs busted out of that front field, but we didn't see any when the fire was ripping through. But there was like a little, we were on the deck, and there's a little like cyclone gets kicked up like 30 yards from the deck, you know, and it's like rips right past. It's like, holy shit. But yeah, it was a heck of a time, man. So what's that?
So you got there, and Dud had a bear bow shipped in from Hoyt.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the video of him putting on the serving and kind of setting it up.
Yep.
Did you pick up any tips, any stuff that we're not doing to our bows that we should be? I wanted to cut my serving off that night. Dudley reserves his bows. I'm going to do it.
he reserved to match my arrows, to match my knocks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he explains it in the video. You want a little bit of play, but not a lot. A lot of the stuff is on his video set, the Knocked and Ready to Rock or whatever it is, how to build a bow. That's actually like, I had both of my other bows and restrung, and then I had gotten my wife a bow for Christmas, and the whole way I like kind of found them is I looked for videos on how to set it up, you know, and how to put your knocking points on, serving your peep, all that stuff. And I found his video, and and used his video to set up the bows. And that's how he set it up. You know, tied in knocks. Doesn't use brass. Doesn't use a bite tab. Yeah, pretty straightforward. It's all out there. But
nice. And if anybody wants to check that out, it's Knock On TV.
Yep.
NOCKON.TV. He's got a lot of stuff. He's got some of his hunts on there. He's
yeah.
got.
But yeah, it's like I said, it was crazy. Because then too, like we had the first day that we were there, the first night they hadn't come in yet. But on Monday, so we had Tyler from Traeger, Traeger Grills, Traeger Outdoor. He runs the Traeger Outdoor section. Like their media section, and they flew in Chad from Whiskey Bent Barbecue. Believe he's a world champion, barbecue competitor to cook for us. So like, I had it was a test. It was definitely a test.
That's a test.
And, my willpower. Which I passed with flying colors. But yeah, so, you're getting like, what the hell did he do? He did ribs, he did pulled pork, he did brisket, he did the back straps off of my pig. It was damn good. You know, and those grills are cool as hell.
Yeah.
You know, I take pride in the fact that I've cooked some pretty good meals on an old 55-gallon oil drum that I converted into a horizontal smoker. But having a pellet grill that you can just dial up, it's like, man, some damn good food has come off of them. So,
I can't believe you did not purchase one while you were out there. I thought for sure there would be. I would see Jim in a new Traeger grill.
I'm gonna be going away for a couple of days, so I might come back after my fight to one. yeah, just really, really cool. And hearing all the new stuff they're coming out with is pretty cool too. Coming out with some sweet new things. A lot of technology involved, but you know what? It's make good food.
Yeah.
Like Dudley's.
That's all he uses, right?
Yeah.
He's posted stuff on
I've
his
honestly,
Instagram all the time.
It's like he made, he made burgers and steaks on it. Burger was, I like a medium rare, juicy, and like that's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
A little overdone for my taste, but still way better than a majority of the burgers that I've had. Like if you go out to some place and you get a burger and like just kissed with smoke.
Yeah.
Like it was really good. And I got it. Like I told Pat the thing that really stood out to me was he made asparagus. He made asparagus on the smoker and it was
delicious.
The best asparagus I've ever had in my life.
It's not and easy it's not, to make asparagus.
It's not, yeah.
Stand
it's
out.
Not something that it's like, oh my God, that was awesome. It was fucking awesome. It made my pee smell really bad the next day because I ate a lot of it. But, like, it was really, really good.
Must have been. You're not a vegetable eater.
I eat asparagus. I'm a vegetable eater.
if you eat asparagus, that by default, you are a vegetable eater.
I don't like peas. The only time I'll eat peas is raw out of my garden. Like, I don't like cooked peas. Other than that, I'll eat green beans. I'll eat all that shit. Except mushrooms. Give me mushrooms.
Really?
I love mushrooms.
In some butter, thrown on a steak. Ugh.
So delicious.
You know what sucks is kale. Megan's been making a lot of kale.
Yeah.
And kale's disgusting. It's so like bitter. It tastes like I'm eating dirt. It's horrible.
And mushrooms aren't like eating dirt?
No, mushrooms. Yeah, mushrooms are like butter sponges for me, the way I cook them, and they're delicious. It's just another vehicle to get butter into my arteries.
Yeah. Yeah. Mushrooms are they're awesome.
Mushrooms are awesome. Yeah. Stuffed mushrooms are great.
Yeah.
Steak and mushrooms are great.
Sauteed mushrooms, over steak.
Yeah.
Mm. No thanks.
Different level.
Gorgonzola or blue cheese.
Blue cheese is amazing.
Delicious.
God, I want some of that right now. We need a gym trigger.
We do. We do.
That'll be really nice. Yeah. Because, for me personally, I train and then I don't get fed, and that blows.
It does blow, doesn't it?
You know, I'm
it does, actually. I'm kind of feeling for you today.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for saying that.
I'm hungry right now.
Oh, we'll work on it.
Jim went home and ate. I know you
no,
ate.
I didn't.
You went home. That's bullshit.
I ate before I hit pads.
And then
it hurt so
bad.
It hurt so bad. It's like I eat a salad, but still eating within half an hour of working out. But no, it was a cool experience, cool hunt, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we hunted pigs, but it was more like it wasn't really spot and stalk like this. Like this was like because it was such big country. And I swear to you, probably in the first day, I saw more bucks through my binoculars than I've ever seen hunting in New Jersey. Like, and then over the course of 3 days, we're talking like things that would practically be state records here too. That are like,
just passing on it.
Yeah. he'll be good in 2 years. You know, like, it was pretty awesome.
Dan and I would have shot a big golden retriever this weekend.
Yeah.
That's where I was at. There was something with four legs in the woods. It was getting narrow.
It was right in front of me.
We drove Dudley's property, and I sent you the picture of the little button buck. So probably 2 hours before we drove the property, coyotes took down a button buck, you know, on his property, and we actually bumped into one. It was probably going back to the kill.
Really?
Yeah, we're coming up over the hill and we're coming down the road and he pops his head up. It's like, shit, I don't have a gun in the car. those little bastards.
So that's one of our upcoming hunts.
We're gonna
control
doing a
them
predator control.
In New Jersey.
The fawn killers. I saw one that was bigger than Dexter out there.
A coyote bigger than Dexter?
Coyote.
For our listeners, what's Dexter weighing at? He's a big dog.
Dexter's 90.
He's 90 and
92.
I didn't think coyotes got that big. That's a huge coyote.
Huge coyote. Huh. Huge male coyote. Yeah.
Was that maybe a wolf?
I don't know. It wasn't a wolf, but he was big. Gotta do it again.
Yeah.
Gotta do it again.
We got
I
a
would
couple
like to do it, not just do it again.
Yeah.
I would like to go. I'd be available. Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Possibly. I will say, though, the multi-pin sites, movable multi-pin for that type of hunting. Because I had the single pin, and the last one that I shot at, we went through this timber that they were kind of getting bumped out of in that big field. So, like, to the east of it, there was a stretch of timber. So Dud and I came through there, and the guys up at the lodge said they saw some in the switchgrass. So then you're going into like 5 foot tall grass. If it was like I was having these visions of like Rambo, you know, like when he like cuts the chicken or the rooster and like tracks him through, and he's like, all right, they're gonna. You know, they might come out. We had great wind, and he's like, "You'll hear maybe a little bit of you know, squealing as they come up. And he's like, you're within a couple of feet, so they very well might charge. It's like, so if you see something, you stone them. You know? And it's like, you're standing there, and we're just, like, kind of waiting and, like, seeing if we can wait them out. And it was, like, intense. But then we saw pigs coming towards the little nest that sow was in. And you hear the piglets squealing. And there was this big boar. And we, like, got within, like, 50 of them, took our shoes off, snuck in there. But we were kind of out in the middle of the open. I had to draw. Was at draw for, like, 30 seconds, had to let down when it went behind the tree and come back up, and it was about 50. My pin was at 40, you know. Yeah. didn't have the opportunity to range him or to set it, so I held over his back and let loose, and it, like, right underneath him. And that pig was pissed off. They said they saw the shot. You know, shooting Luminox, so they see this green flash, and they said that pig ran across that field through a group of four other pigs and just blew by them and ran, like, another, you know, it ran, like, a total of, like, a mile and a half into the woods and was gone. Like, he was not hanging around. So I had plenty of opportunities. I just came up short on a couple of them, but no, it definitely, it's one of those things. It's like, man, all right, it's time to find a lease. Time to find a lease so we can hunt regularly. Do we have any questions or comments, Patrick? Nothing. No, people don't like stories of hunting. And
I think you've been so walking, detailed in your storytelling that it doesn't leave any room
walking
for questions.
In the fire. Yeah, it was pretty. It was cool.
So we got a couple hunts. Deer season is over for us here. We got turkey coming up.
Yeah.
We got coyote coming up, and then possibly some bow fishing.
Yes.
Which I am pretty excited about.
Yeah. Stingrays.
Some stingrays.
Shooting some stingrays.
I'm in for that.
The big man, yeah.
Where does that happen?
Where the hell did they say it was? Right, but right over here.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where.
Not Cape.
Wasn't Chesapeake, was it?
Might have been. Yeah.
It's on a body of water.
It is on a body of water.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not the field.
No. No, yeah. It's tough finding them. Once they bed down, you can't kick them up.
You get underneath that grass. Yeah. Impossible.
We'll have to get the old man a little baby recurve or what you call it?
You shoot. They have the compound. Crossbow mounts now.
Yeah,
shoot them with the crossbow now.
Mm-hmm. They can shoot down.
I know you can. Well, I guess you're right. You can't shoot down.
Yeah, but how many much times can you pull, and how many times?
Until you got to pull for a friggin' fish.
35.
Yeah,
40.
It has to be a 40, I think.
You pull 35.
Yeah,
I was pulling. That was a 35.
Yeah,
pulled that down.
Yeah.
I think you just shoot with the crossbow.
Yeah.
Zip. They have the mount and they have the bolts and everything for them.
Good time.
We're going to need to get two crossbows soon because I shot maybe like a dozen arrows today and my arm, it feels like jelly.
Yeah.
It's not good. And my bow is not set. I think it's at like 82 pounds or something right
Probably.
Now.
Probably 90.
Or maybe 42. Killing me. It's a lot easier if I can point that sucker skyward and rip her back. I watched Dudley setting up the fella from Traeger and having to point the bow at the target and then pull it back. That's like a whole different dynamic.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out so well.
Doesn't work out.
I might be going bite tab. I don't know.
Yeah.
I got options.
We can make you the gimp thing. You can do the gag.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't seem like it worked out so well.
He was shooting pretty. He was shooting better than you were.
He was.
He did.
He was.
Till the last round.
Yeah.
He got a little tired. And then when he abandoned it was what?
Abandoned it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That was the problem.
We got to do another one.
We We do.
I was thinking we should I think we should do a 3D shoot. Mm-hmm. If we had like a field, we could have maybe some of our listeners enter, and it could be like a 3D shoot off. Would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'm dying to do it, and it would be an excuse to buy some targets.
Yeah,
like that big Bigfoot. Yeah, we would have to get the Bigfoot.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I'm not shooting it's at a 3D.
Right off.
Yeah, exactly. This was 100% necessary.
We needed it for a competition for our business. There's some pretty cool ones out there.
The Reinhardt?
Yeah. Yeah, they make some crazy. There's another company that makes kind of the same.
Yeah.
Can't remember the name off the top of my head at the time. But you know what was cool? It's kind of because I've become a little bit of a camera gear junkie. Is like looking at like a professional hunter's gear, you know?
Yeah.
Like camera gear. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would imagine he is not using DSLR.
He uses it a lot, but not in the woods.
Okay.
Not while we're hunting. We're using I forget what the heck they are. The Canon something. They're discontinued now. Something 20. Like XD20 or something like that.
Hmm.
Nice little camera. The thing of it is that ours isn't... The panning that we have doesn't... You can't use a remote.
Yeah, so that's got remote. Pretty clutch when you're in the woods.
Yeah. So. Lesson learned. Although the remote did mess them up. When I shot the one, kind of went crazy on him, was zooming in and out. So, unfortunately, it's like the one pig that I got was not on film. The misses, though, they were on
film.
On film.
Yeah.
Your door shot was in slow-mo. Your
door shot was in slow-mo. Yeah. Pretty cool, that archery shit. I'm hooked.
Yeah.
What are we at, Pat?
We are at 1 hour and 11 minutes.
1 hour and 11 minutes? All right.
Nailed it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the Hands On Podcast. On behalf of everybody, I'm Jim Miller. Have a good night.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.